Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host today, joined by my trusty co-host, Cody Thompson. How are you today, Cody?
Psyched. Happy to be here.
Very good. I like that. And we got Matt on the keyboard being our engineer. Matt, thumbs up from Matt. He's doing well today. Yep. And we have a guest because what's our topic today, Cody?
This is Person on the Street with Chris.
That's right, Chris. Now, we're not going to lie. We didn't actually find this guy in the street. He came for a visit today. We're also not going to lie. We know Chris. He's a dear friend.
We can pretend you don't.
Okay, let's pretend we're just getting to know you for the first time. But we are going to take apart his working genius type and talk about how it applies. Chris is actually quite a fan of this. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to Chris about his working genius. And he has the unique description, or the unique distinction, I should say, of being a widget. Mm-hmm. WI are his geniuses, DG are his working competencies, and E and T are his working frustrations. So welcome to the podcast, Mr. Widget.
Brother, it's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Always is. And you make my favorite podcast in the world. And I listen to lots of podcasts, but man, you guys get to the point and there's banter that's always tying into the point you're making. It's just, you nail it. So,
well, that's very kind of you to say.
That shows you don't have discernment. So we can get into that later.
your competency. Yeah. Well, it's Matt's job that I couldn't stand doing. Where he's recording these things and I'm watching the lines with each of our names and he's going to mix it down. Yeah, that just, my eyes glaze over.
Well, you don't have to do that. You just have to tell us what it's like to be a WI. So those are your geniuses. And I have to tell you, my wife, Laura, is also a WI. So I love WIs. They are called, Cody, what do we call a WI?
The creative dreamer. So that's right. the pairing there, the wonder and invention that are side by side in the ideation category of work. They are constantly the wonder, like they're exploring the environment and the situations they're in and constantly sort of reacting to what's going on in the environment, and then can't help themselves but move right into their next genius, which is invention. So create something out of nothing, often as a response to what they're seeing, some untapped potential in the market or in their environment or in a person they even come across.
Right. They're like, why is the world like this? Oh, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm constantly looking at the big picture, how things are tied together, how to articulate things, how to change things and make them better, which is great as a guy who does what I do. You know, I'm preaching and putting messages together for people.
We should clarify what you do. You are a person in media putting out great ideas around the faith. Organization called Real Life Catholic.
Yep.
And that's how I got to know you. And so you're coming up with new ways of explaining the faith and concepts.
And yeah, and even the things that I emphasize in my messaging consistently, I could see that tied to my perception of the big picture realities in the church. You know, I don't just come out and teach a message that may be important to me, but I'm always trying to fit that lane to stay in that lane of just showing that the faith brings something joyful to our lives.
Right.
Most people think it's irrelevant. But as you're talking right now, I'm thinking, wow, the way I message things is tied to my perception of a big picture and fixing a problem.
Right. The WI.
Which that's really cool.
Isn't it?
You know what I find kind of interesting is, like, you know, Chris, we've known you and worked with you even on your business before we ever had the Working Genius assessment. And there were all these meetings that we had in advance of, we would sit there, Pat and I, and you would tell us all the things that you were doing. And we were like, what, why are you doing so much? You know, like you constantly had a new initiative or new endeavor. You had a new series of videos you were doing or new events. And we were constantly trying to whittle that down. And now post Working Genius assessment, we kind of have some language for that, which is, you are a creative dreamer. And because you started your own company and do this with a relatively small team, you just started spinning up every idea that you could think of and putting it out there in the world, which is wonderful. But then there were times where actually that became a little bit of a burden for you and your team because there was almost too much.
A lot of a burden. And realizing these things, it's so profound. We should almost come up with, like, you got BC and AD. There should be like a PWD, you know, post-working genius. PWG. I created a lot of chaos on my team because that's the dark side of a WI.
Yeah, the dark side is that there can be a lot of chaos and sometimes impracticality because they're spinning up all these ideas. Not all of them are necessarily the right ones, and sometimes that can create chaos. So yeah, that's
right,
the dark
right.
side.
So I'd spin up some chaos in my team. So that was the dark side. Another dark side. In not just owning who I am, I would feel guilty all the time for instead of keeping the chaos making in its right lane and saying, look, I appreciate this about myself. Because one of the reasons I've done some great things for the church is because for every one that's worked out, I've tried 50.
Right.
You know, but that's not all bad. You know?
No, not at all.
But I've had these ideals as I saw myself burning out my team a little bit and they had no language to put around, okay, Chris, that you're WI-ing, we think it's great, but please stop because you're killing us. I also had very little self-appreciation that a WI could actually be a leader in a business. Hmm. You know, because my team would react to me and it almost started to feel like gaslighting where it's like, oh, here's Chris with his crazy ideas. And I'm thinking, guys, you know, if it weren't for these crazy ideas, we wouldn't even have a business. So come with me. It created this constant tension. And then me questioning myself and like, you know, can a person leading a small company be a visionary inventor? Or does he have to be an administrative type? And thinking I'm not fitting this ideal I have of this competent administrator. Mm-hmm. And no, that's just not me. I'm not supposed to fit that mold.
You know, Cody has a great way to describe this because what's the perfect type for a leader, Cody?
It's a self-aware one. That's the only time. Right. I mean, and then this is what you're not the only person who has come to us with this sentiment, Chris, which is like, boy, I'm a leader, but I have tenacity and whatever, you know, name the genius. And the real truth about what's the best type for a leader is someone who knows what their gifts are and knows what their weaknesses are, and then surrounds themselves with other people to fill in the gaps. Like the thing that I think is so amazing about working genius and when your whole team understands it is, what they used to maybe even vilify a little bit, like, oh, here comes Chris with another crazy idea. You can switch the entire narrative on that at post working genius and say, boy, we're so glad you're using your invention right now. But with the context of surrounding yourself with discerners and galvanizers and enablement people and people with tenacity, you know where you fit in the process. So there will be times where they're like, hey, we don't need your invention. But the other times they'll invite it and welcome it as opposed to sort of resist it and go, oh no, he's doing that thing again and he's going to hand us a new idea to execute on.
Mm, yeah. That's profound. You know, as a guy in the line of work that I'm in, I've often contemplated this in relation to God and not always applied it to the world of work and relationships between other people. But it's amazing to me how, you know, the only boss who's got it all is the maker of space and time. Like here's the one being that really doesn't need any of his employees, right? And yet chose to need us to do everything from bringing food to the table all together. I mean, gosh, the cup of coffee I had from every farmer to truck driver, like there's probably 5,000 people involved in the cup of coffee I had, right? So from the providence of earthly goods to the kind of work I do in ministry, like he could do direct messaging. He doesn't need my mouth, but chose to. And why? I've often wondered, but I think it's because love and joy himself would want to share the experience with us. Mm-hmm. And then if I bring self-aware leadership to my team and let them know, like, look, I'm a WI and I stink at ET and I actually really need you. And this is not going to happen without you. And they take ownership of the ET part and they know that they can get the joy of knowing like this cool stuff we did as a team absolutely wouldn't happen if Chris were on his own spinning out of control.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing? You said it before about guilt. And on the other side of guilt is like this joy and freedom.
Mm.
They love to do what they love to do. And
that's
people
right.
should work in their area of genius. And so many times we tend to denigrate our own area of genius as saying, well, mine is easy. Like Laura, my wife said recently, well, what am I going to do, Pat, when I come back, go to work sometimes? I'm a WI. What can a WI do? And it's like a ton of things, but just lean into that and find other people that lean into their types. And everybody should feel like this matters. But it's so interesting how we can dismiss our own skills as being the easy ones and the unimportant ones. And a lot of WIs think, well, I don't have ET, so I'm useless. And a lot of ETs think, well, I don't have WI, so I'm not the guy that's going to come up with the brand new idea. And it's ridiculous. We all of them are needed. And that's the beautiful thing. None of us got them all.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris, to your point, I think one of the super interesting things, we, you know, Pat wrote the book, The Five Dysfunctions and Ideal Team Player. And we used to say this phrase, like, life is a team sport. We would, you know, Pat, we said that, you've said that at speeches. Yeah. We say that at offsites. And at first we were like, well, do we just say that? Do we say that because we're the teamwork company? But really, you know, after discovering Working Genius, exactly the sentiment you described is, we need people with all of these giftings to get stuff done and to enjoy our work more. I mean, this is a real life example of the fact that life is a team sport and that we're wired to need one another. There is no one person. I even feel this way when people go out as solopreneurs. I'm like, oh boy, that's going to be so exhausting for you unless you bring some people in to help you with the things that you're not wired to do particularly well. And so this, like, further codified that life is a team sport and that we're wired to be in interaction with one another.
You know, I remember when we started this company, my dad, who came from that post-World War II depression era mentality, when I said, I'm going to leave my stable company and start one of my own, he said, okay. He was kind of nervous. And then I said, and I'm bringing four people with me. And he said, no, don't do that. Go out on your own by yourself. And then when you start to make enough money to pay for other people, then you should bring them on. And God rest his soul, I said, Dad, if I don't bring them on now, I'm never going to be successful because I'm not that good at everything. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have Working Genius then, but now I look back at the people that started it with us and how they filled in my gaps, and I did that for them. And life really, really, truly is a team sport.
Mm. It's the joy of humility, man. To not only be okay with, but to be happier because I realize that I can't do it all by myself. Totally. I can't play first, second, and third base.
Well, that, and when you use that word humility, I mean, when I think about the makeup of your team, and your team's changed since the last time we talked, so this is like new, but if I were thinking about you as the founder, as a WI, the advice I would give is like, boy, you need to have a really humble relationship with a discerner on your team. Humble inventors that can bring their ideas before a discerner and say, tell me which of these are good or are going to meet the market the way that we want. And there's no ego there, and it's not anyone trying to jockey for position, but it really is about refining, evaluating the best ideas. If the person on your team who can do that for you, it's going to allow you to do fewer better things rather than implement every wonder invention idea that you come up with. But if you have that mutual humility to say, hey, we have 10 ideas. And I say this, I work with Bo, who's an inventor galvanizer. On one side of his whiteboard, every morning I walk in, he has things for Cody to discern on it. He has 10 ideas and he's just holding them up there with open hands. And he's like, which one of these do you think we should pursue? I feel like for you, what a gift to be looking for someone in that, with another genius of yours that is complementary, because really it's not just that you being a self-aware leader and surrounding yourself with that, but you being a WI is the highest and best use of you as a leader on your team. So you trying to flex into another genius is not a good role for you. You need to use that WI to be the most effective version of yourself, to bring about the gifts that God wired you to bring about.
I love that. You know, humility is necessary in every level with this, right? Not only for the leader who's the WI, but for the person who's a strong ET or discerner to not, and then this is a tendency in all workplaces. I think it's part of human nature to tribalize and to overthrow the one in charge. There's something about, there's a human survival mechanism built into the us, then them experience. And for folks, you know, who work for a boss who's maybe a WI, to not give in to the judgment of, you know, well, he's going to be a horrible administrative type. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly fine. Have the joy of stepping up and saying, yeah, I'm not the boss, but I'm better at this, and let's work together. For that boss not to burn your people out and to realize that if you're not careful with that fire, that gift of fire and creativity, you're gonna kill your team. But all it takes humility on every level for this, or frankly, for anything to work.
Yeah, and the humility to lead, the humility to follow, and the humility, even when you're not the leader, there's moments where you have to stand up and lead. Things are going to happen in your organization, Chris, when they get closer to implementation, and you're going to get in the back seat and go, you drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's great to own that. It's great to say, that's okay. That's okay. I don't have to be involved in that level that's going to make me go home tired after work, because it's not my zone. It's not what energizes me. And my people don't want me there.
Yeah.
But seeing all this, man, we hire for working genius types now. I mean, it's kind of strange, because when you're, before you even have an interview and you give someone the working genius, they kind of sense like, oh my gosh, I might get written out of this entire process because of something I can't even control. it could create a little discomfort. But when they realize where you're coming from, it's like, you wouldn't have been happy there anyway. Trust me.
And the point is actually not to write people out of discomfort, like based on something they can't control. The point is actually to put someone in a job that they're going to love and be uniquely gifted at. And so that is like the biggest gift you can give someone, because without that, you take someone who you don't know what their working genius is, you plug them in to do the thing that you want them to do, and they're not wired that way. And so I think that's why there's so much dissatisfaction, turnover, low morale. It could be as simple as there are a lot of people that are in the wrong seats. And if they were just given the gift of no understanding their own genius and moving, sort of reshaping their seats to let them spend more time in that area, I think turnover would go down. I think morale would go way up, and you wouldn't have people that are that disgruntled in the workplace.
You know, I think it's interesting. Chris just mentioned this idea of using it for hiring. And you know, depending on what state you live in and what's going on around you, people are like, oh, you can't do that. But here's the beauty of it. What you're trying to do is you're trying to match that person with something that's going to give them joy and success and satisfaction. But there are times when you're going to find out what working genius a person is and say, I want them in my organization so badly that I am going to actually change the nature of the role to fit them.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I'm like gonna just boot you out. Now, sometimes you have a small company, you just don't have a role that fits their personality. It's a heck of a lot better to be able to say, man, I would love to hire you, Fred or Mary. Oh, you actually have a Mary, but I was put it a Fred and Mary generic name. We're not talking about you, Mary, but I don't have a role for you here, but if one that comes up, but I'm going to help you find a job that suits your gifts. So this isn't just about analyzing somebody to bring them in or take them out. It's about understanding them to give them the best chance for success.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you, for me, as a WI, I didn't even want to spend time face-to-face interviewing someone who wasn't a high T to be my support that could hold me up. And yet I hear you, man. When you start encountering awesome people who's like, well, I just want them on my team. If you got the budget for it, you'll make something to fit that person. I think this is one of the beauties of working genius. As a guy who's in ministry, I've never seen a working application that so closely fits Christian principles of the workplace. It's supposed to be about the human person. You know, the way a business or organization structured is supposed to be about the people and not just the widgets that are being churned out. Hey, I just used the word widget. I am a widget, right?
No pun intended.
That's funny. It's about the people. So this is a profoundly human approach to work that upholds human dignity, that says who you are won't be happy in this job, or we'll form a job around who you are, because that's the lead in this conversation, not just the things that we want done. And if employees and employers think that way, man, you're going to get stuff done. There's the beautiful irony of it.
It changes everything. I love that. Human dignity. It's what we're really all about. Yeah. Hey, Chris, thanks for being the man on the street today, or woman on, you're not a woman, but if we have a man or woman on the street, we just
a person on the street.
We don't just have one kind. So we really appreciate you being here today. And this is so much fun to talk about.
Yeah, all right. It's a good being with you guys.
All right. Yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody, on the Working Genius Podcast. We'll look forward to talking to you next time. God bless.